Our last panel today is going to focus a little bit on the new democracies, in other words, all the countries of Central Eastern Europe, the new members of EU and NATO, and what their relations are now with the United States. I'll say a little bit more about this in the conclusions. But we have three very good panelists on this issue. First of all, Aaron Jensen, who is the Romania country officer, Office of North Central European Affairs. Remember when it was South Central, now it's North Central. He served previously in China and Spain, Afghanistan, and a few other places. So very happy to have you here, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
Secondly, the irreplaceable Daniel Nelson, who needs no introduction. One of our leading Romanianists, I would say, in Washington. Irreplaceable. Well, we can't replace you on this panel, so. And last but not least, Christian Gaginski, from Minister Councillor from the Embassy, who will focus on the political, bilateral political dialogue between U.S. and Romania. You're not replaceable either, but with Dan, he's irreplaceable. Anyway, let's start with Aaron. Thanks.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. As described, I am the Romania desk officer at the State Department. That means I primarily have responsibility for the day-to-day information gathering and passing on all issues Romanian, but not too deep. So if there's a question that's too deep for me later, I'll simply deflect it. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for inviting me. I think when the U.S. looks at Romania and Romania-U.S. relations, what we always say is the U.S. and Romania share a very, very close relationship. Romania is one of our closest allies, no offense, Australia. The fact is, Romania and the United States share a very strong and broad strategic partnership, and I think you can understand how much the U.S. really does care and believes that when you look at the fact that the United States strongly supported Romania as the site to host the next NATO summit, which will be occurring in April 2008. This will be President Bush's last summit, and it'll be very symbolic in that it shows the idea that we believe in a large Europe. Romania is part of that, and Romania and the United States view it in the same way, that Europe from the Baltic to the Black Sea and even further. And the points in that, the brief points, are first of all, Romania sees eye to eye with the United States on the freedom agenda. Formerly being under Soviet suzerainty, afterwards, Romania quickly adapted democratic standards and began to open its economy. And the Romanian government, and much like the United States, wants to see democratic and economic reforms spread to its neighbors, to Eastern Europe, and further afield. Romania and the United States are together on these issues. And obviously, for those that follow Romania, it's very important to our bilateral relationship that Romania has made commitments to fight alongside our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. There are about 660 Romanian troops, I think, at the last count I saw in Afghanistan, including some very excellent troops that have strong reputation with our own in Zabul province along the Pakistani border. And having served in Kabul, I can tell you that this is one of the more challenging areas. Also, Romania has about 500, we say 505, so let's give it plus or minus 10, depending on the rotation, troops in Iraq, clearly one of this administration's foreign policy priorities. So when you look at the fact that Romania agrees with us on the freedom agenda, that we fight together in our most important conflicts, I think it's pretty easy to see that we do indeed have a strong and broad strategic partnership. On the EU, since that's basically the title here, Romania and the EU, the United States supported Romania for several years as a candidate for NATO, all the way back to the presidency of Bill Clinton, though that really wasn't that long ago. The United States wanted Romania to be in NATO. We also supported Romania's entrance into the European Union. A stronger Romania, a more economically advanced Romania, is a better and stronger ally. And so we are very pleased that Romania entered the EU on January 1st, 2007. Having served in Spain, I can say that EU membership can do a lot for a country. In 1986, when Spain entered, 9 or 10 years after the fall of the Franco dictatorship, Spain was one of the poorest countries in Europe and certainly did not come close to other EU members in economic development. 20 years later, when I served in Spain, well, the country's close to a paradise, at least from a tourist point of view. The Spaniards will say, like in one of their popular TV programs, one of the characters say, "Ahora somos altos, guapos y europeos," roughly translated as, "Now we're tall, handsome, and European." It took 20 years from the entry into the EU to get there. Romania is in now, and in 20 years, Romania, with its 22 million people, its high academic growth rates, its educated populace, and closer integration into the EU, can get there. With that, though, it's important to point out it requires work, it requires effort, and it requires a focus of the Romanian government to develop programs that can absorb EU funds, such as Spain used, some of the best highways I've ever seen. Romania needs to focus on infrastructure, and its government needs to focus on these things. Its government can also pay attention to developing programs to absorb EU agricultural funds, which has not yet been a focus in the first year. And the Romanian government needs to do that so that it can bring the Romanian economy and the Romanian people up to European standards. And one area that the United States has recently become concerned with after Romanian's entrance into the EU, and one that our ambassador has mentioned in Bucharest several times, and previous ambassadors have, is the issue of the Romanian government's commitment to fighting corruption. The European Union required that Romania make certain reforms in order to fight corruption upon entrance. Some observers might note that after EU accession, the Romanian government's commitment to making those reforms have stalled and in some cases backslided. A point that I received from a press clip from our embassy says that while the GOR has made substantial progress on corruption since 2004, with several cases open and investigated against high-level figures, none of these important politicians have actually been tried or convicted of any crimes to date. And recently, just a few weeks ago, a tape was leaked of the Minister of Agriculture allegedly accepting a bribe and led to his resignation. The case, to my understanding, is not ongoing, and in response to this, Parliament seemed to have responded by making it more difficult for prosecutors to investigate cases of these types, and this seems to be a backward slide in fighting corruption, when we'd hope that for Romania to advance itself and reduce corruption, the government would have responded and been more aggressive. Our ambassador has mentioned this, and I think we will continue to mention this because, as a strong partner and friend of Romania, we want a strong Romania. And since the United States hopes that investment from the United States and other parts of the world will increase in Romania, having a system that can fight official corruption, and in one area where investors definitely do look, would be helpful and is very important to us. But that would be the main concern we have right now. But overall, the United States is a strong supporter of Romania. We wanted Romania to be in the European Union. We wanted Romania to be in NATO. We want Romania to be our strong friend and partner for years to come. And hope to see some of you at the NATO summit in April. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Aaron. Daniel?
Vă mulțumesc. Îmi pare foarte rău, nu vorbim astăzi în românește, dar probabil discutăm în românește mai târziu, da? Excelent. I like to be called indispensable. Some of my wives didn't say that, but nevertheless.
I didn't know you were a Muslim.
You know, I'm very, very pleased to be here. I think this is an important discussion. My job here today among Jensens, Nelsons, and Gajinskis to talk about Romania, I mean, is to provide the Romanian linkage, I believe. But honestly, I believe my task, and I hope that Janos accepts this, is to be somewhat of an iconoclast. We've heard from both, certainly from Dan Sullivan, as well as from our colleague at the from Aaron at the State Department, we've heard very positive statements, and I don't take away from that. But I do want to ask some very pointed questions that I think should preface this meeting. After all, we're asked to talk about in this session the impact of new democracies on U.S. policies. I'm tempted to say in the George Bush administration there is none. Now, I know Aaron and some other people might disagree with that. But I want to ask to commence with some very, very pointed questions. First of all, what constitutes a new democracy? Doesn't the nature and the amount of democracy vary among new democracies? Post-authoritarian systems are, in the infamous words of Fareed Zakaria, then of the Council on Foreign Relations, now not. I think he's now with Newsweek, right? But he talked about illiberal democracies. So simply because a system becomes a new democracy, a post-authoritarian system, does not mean it's very liberal or very democratic. And by the way, I'm not specifying Romania here. I'm talking generally. And does democracy, by the way, have a beneficial, a positive consequence for a nation's, a state's capacity to project influence, particularly with respect to the United States? Now, let's be honest about this. I mean, in a room here, quietly at CSIS, where no one's going to report this, right? Who does the United States and the George Bush administration pay most attention to, friends? Musharraf's Pakistan? Is that a democracy? Not today. The Saudi monarchy? Who does the United States pay most attention to? And our State Department friends will be silent now, of course, because you can't. Well, you may say something later, but not now. Wait, I have the floor. But, you know, the key point here is that I think nuclear weaponry, energy weaponry, commands attention, access, voice in Washington, not democracy, at least in this administration. Now, what does impact mean? I suppose influence. And I know Janusz, or maybe Milena, named this event, but nevertheless, I'm saying new democracies impact. Well, what does impact mean? What does that verb mean? Influence, perhaps an ability to cause change in U.S. foreign policy. Well, to do or not to do something that would cause consternation, anger, or even a negative reaction in Washington, D.C., might have more impact than a positive action. Or to put it another way, simply supporting American policy is not going to have impact. It's simply going to continue the damn policy that we've had for a long time, and which has caused, by the way, 4,000 American lives and hundreds of thousands of Iraqi lives, for example. Now, is the impact to be witnessed of new democracies immediately, or the near future, or the distant future? This is really the temporal dimension of the concept of impact. And what should be our focus? I would suggest that really we're talking about, for a smaller country like Romania, a medium-sized country like Romania, medium temporal impact. Not immediate, but not long-term either. And what about the geographic dimension of impact? That can't be ignored either. New democracies, whether they act singly or collectively, can be effective vis-a-vis U.S. policy. They can be most impactful, I suppose would be the word, maybe in their region. We'd think that would be logical. Meaning Romania would be most effective in, let's say, Bulgaria, the former Yugoslavia, Serbia, Kosovo, and so on. But maybe not. Maybe Romania can think more broadly. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. So what I've tried to do at this, in this introductory phase, is to raise some questions. And we ought not simply dismiss them. What is a new democracy? do democracies really have more effect or efficacy in the American context and in Washington, D.C., and with this administration than heinous regimes that ignore human rights and ignore constitutionality and take power by force? Let's think about that. And I think we must at a meeting such as this. And what is impact? Can it be immediate? Can it be long-term? And what about the geographical dimension? Now, let me just turn to three or four specific policy areas that, you know, we might want to discuss. Aaron said something that I think is important. Romania sees eye to eye with the United States, and that Romania fights alongside the United States, particularly in Afghanistan, but also Iraq. Let's just talk about Iraq for a moment. This, by the way, is not a conference about Iraq, but what the heck? Romania's support for the American-Iraq policy with troops and diplomacy has had an impact, unquestionably, albeit an impact that some of us, including this speaker, disagree. That is to say, simply being a sycophant for American policy is not necessarily a positive for Romania or for the United States. And in terms of the change of administration that may be coming in the United States in November of this year, we might want to think about, and so might, excuse me, I was being slightly eager. We might want to contemplate the impact not only on Romania but other new democracies as well. The coalition of the willing, or the coalition of the willing and unable, or the coalition of the unwilling and unable that has been in Iraq has dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. The Poles have left, the South Koreans are leaving, the British have pulled out, but Romania remains steadfast. And you know, the topic of our conversation is today impact. This has had an impact. The Romanian steadfastness has had an impact. It helps the Bush administration. It is the kind of help that some in Romania, including within the government, have questioned. But President Băsescu has been particularly vocal in maintaining the commitment. Now, this is an issue. It's not an issue for me to decide. It's an issue for Romanians to decide. I understand that. I respect that. And I'm sure all of us do. And our Romanians would remind us. Our Romanian friends would remind us. But it's absolutely clear that President Băsescu has been one of the strongest, not only, of this commitment. But in terms of impact, this is an impact. It's an impact, may I say, as somebody who has not supported the Iraq War and has not supported the Bush administration, that is not necessarily helpful. Now, proliferation and weapons of mass destruction is another arena that we might want to discuss about impact. And I'm only going to mention a few here so we can, I know Janusz would quickly yank me away if I went too long. You know, the Bush administration, most notably John Bolton, but a lot of other people in general terms, has denuded arms control from this administration. They have substituted policies such as the Proliferation Security Initiative, PSI, which is essentially forcible interdiction whenever we think we may see trafficking of weapons of mass destruction. Romania has signed on to PSI, but I believe, and for the Romanian diplomats and those of you concerned about Romania in the room, I suggest and believe that Romania could take a far greater role, in trying to, for example, save the Conventional Forces in Europe treaty, which the Russians essentially have, and the United States, are ignoring, but particularly the Russians. I think that Romania could take a very important role in trying to urge the United States to prepare for a renewal of the START agreement, which by the way, expires in a couple of years. I think Romania could take a very important role in urging the United States to sign the CTBT treaty. I think Romania could take a very important role in urging the United States to remove the last tactical nuclear weapons from Europe as well as the Russians, and many, many other arms control steps. Romania could play a very significant role in the arms control agenda and have, apropos the title of this discussion, an impact. Let me remind you that Romania, once upon a time in the Ceausescu era, conducted research and development towards nuclear weapons. It never approached the point of actually accumulating weapons-grade fissionable material, fortunately, but nevertheless, Romania is a country that has the technology and, by the way, the know-how and experience, and, of course, is a former member of the Warsaw Pact and now ally of the United States that could really play collectively with other countries in that sphere, other new democracies, a very significant role. A third area of impact could be Kosovo. Thus far, Romania, along with Slovakia and a number of other countries, has demurred from the Ahtisaari plan. Not exactly directly, but they've sounded certainly less than supportive. We understand, those of us in the room, we understand the rationale, and we understand the indigenous reasons for concern about autonomous areas and their degree of independence. But to the degree that Romania doesn't join the rest of Western Europe and the United States, people notice. And if we're talking about impact, the work of the Troika, I mean, Frank Wisner, and who's the U.S. principal and others, has been complicated by this diminished or dubious support level. And I think we need to, again, if the issue is here on this panel, impact, that's an impact. Negative, in my view, but its impact. And the question is, what ought to be an alternative position that might be more positive? Now, within Europe, and I'll just end this in terms of a couple of other examples, within Europe, just in the last couple of days, another sign of impact has been President Basescu's commentary about the Roma. You followed this, I think. The issue was, unfortunately, a murder in Rome, but it precipitated some commentary by the president about the need for the EU to take leading action with respect to integrating Roma within Western Europe because of the immigration and migration problem. Now, intriguingly, I think that is a very positive impact. Of course, Basescu has had some problems with respect to the way he articulates certain things, maybe even the use of some pejorative terms in Romanian regarding the Roma, but nevertheless, my point is that this can be a positive impact of Romania and other new democracies. They have people migrating, Bulgaria, Romania, and others. They should pressure the EU to take a robust action to begin to integrate through programs that cost money that these countries cannot afford, and they can really play a significant role. Now, others have mentioned the NATO summit coming up in Bucharest. I think that too, along with many of these issues, particularly Kosovo, of course, there's a deadline on December 10th, but beyond that, the arms control agenda and other things, I think, can truly play out at the Bucharest summit. Finally, my point, Janos, is how to have impact. Now, many of us were involved in, shall we say, lobbying by Romania, Bulgaria, Lithuania, Latvia, and so on in the 1990s. The era of lobbying has ended. That is to say, the discrete, absolute, pointed reason for accessing Capitol Hill is over. Now there are much more broad-ranged interests of Romania and other countries that are could be characterized as simply maintaining good relations with Capitol Hill. So how to have impact, lobbying ain't it. I think I just canceled some of my potential contracts. But in any case, my point here is that efficacy and policy influence is dissipated enormously by mistaken targeting. And by the way, it is also dissipated enormously when a government, as in Romania, speaks with many voices, where legislative output and governmental focus is severely harmed by long-term political warfare. Such conditions hurt new democracies much more than old ones, but of course we have that problem in the United States too. I would suggest that new democracies, including Romania, can have the greatest impact on U.S. foreign policy by bold action. Bold action. For example, I mentioned in the arms control arena, or I mentioned regarding Romania's position concerning immigration and migration. But by and large, I'm anxious to have Romania take a major role and to be a major force for good within Europe and vis-a-vis the United States. And Janos, I hope that I've created a few controversial points. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you for the thunderous applause.
I should have a sign applause. Thanks for that dissection of our panel. I noticed you didn't question the word of. But anyway, we'll come to that. Christian, I'm sure you'd love to follow Dan.
Sure, well,
so the floor is yours.
Isn't this one of those moments where you really would like to be replaceable? Yeah. Honestly, thank you very much for having this discussion here today and for inviting me here. And obviously, everybody in this room is entitled to his or her own opinion and perceptions and comments about many issues. There won't be comments from my part on the things that have been said here. I'd rather try to fit into the debate here today and mostly to what has been said in the morning and in the afternoon and after lunch. You know, about how we operate here in how we handle our relation with the United States and how we see it going forward. But from a, let's say, more narrow perspective, and that is from the perspective of our congressional relation, the way we relate with Congress, and that also fits with what has been said just a couple of moments ago. Well, I do congressional relations at the embassy. I'm part of this mechanism. I prefer to label it as being our legislative dialogue, because we talk with the legislative branch here on the Hill, and as you can only imagine, everybody watches TV here. It's really very, very challenging and very, very enjoyable, particularly at this time of the year and certainly the year to come. But what I've been able to grasp from this just about a year of working on Congress is that we mostly see and have seen our legislative dialogue as a continuation mostly of our dialogue with the executive branch, with the administration, and that is in my opinion for good reasons, and primarily because U.S. policy towards Romania and the new democracies and that part of the world is primarily being designed at the executive level and based on our dialogue and cooperation at executive level. But every time that those decisions needed to have a legislative backup or a legislative dimension, we were able to articulate a good dialogue as well on the Hill and have those supporting legislative pieces that were needed. And they probably haven't been many throughout the years. If you look at the record, there's a constant number of about three or four legislative pieces every year on the Hill that affect Romania, that talk about Romania, and that is starting with the seed program that Secretary Sullivan was referring to in '89. That has been repeated in every foreign operations appropriations legislation ever since, and then defense appropriation as well, and then there's a limited number of other legislative vehicles, pieces that refer to Romania. It's not, I mean, that has been the context. Certainly we had, there has been a time when we had specific issues to resolve, specific targets to address here in the U.S., both at the executive and legislative level. And if we start with the 96 Most Favored Nation clause, and then 2002, the vote in the Senate on the NATO enlargement, and so our energy has been focused on these specific targets for quite about some time now. We're in a position where these things, these targets have been touched, have been secured. Now there's an open field, and I believe this is our challenge today, how to fill in the space, how to redefine our agenda, and how to make it, continue to make it appealing to people on the Capitol Hill. And there may be a lot of things that can be done. Just a few suggestions from the way we see it here in the embassy in Washington is we can for example increase and diversify the parliamentary dialogue and interaction, not only to keep the mechanism going at the embassy of Romania in Washington D.C., but rather to have a broader and more diverse interaction between members of Congress and members of Parliament. That way, probably or likely, many of the issues that are still of concern to the U.S. administration and that are concern to the Romanian administration can be addressed at that level as well. With good chances of results. Another way where we can broaden our perspective and do things more sophisticated is to go on a state by state level, to go down to the grassroots, to approach the constituencies in the very states and the very districts of the members of Congress, because it is a time when we need to give way to more economic opportunities, more interaction between our constituencies, more ideas about different kinds of partnerships in business, in research and development, in culturally, academically, in many other areas that you can do at the state and district level. I believe that in this particular perspective, the organizers of today's event, particularly the Chamber of Commerce, could have a great role to play in terms of putting together resources and created creating a mechanism of interaction between Romanian businesses and American businesses. We believe there are many opportunities out there. People in many states and districts talk about business incubators or different other kinds of business interaction, even with countries of the size of Romania and they belonging to the EU, because now the EU is working for us. Again, Secretary Sullivan was talking about this regulatory movement that's been going on between the EU and the US. That is certainly helping businesses in Romania to interact better with those here. So, this would be just a few ideas about what can we do, how we can advance, how we can diversify our agenda, and how we can work more effectively and serve our constituencies better in our work here. So thank you very much again, everybody.
Okay, thanks very much, Christian. Let's. You want to respond? Are you going to respond to each other? Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You didn't agree with something that Dan said?
Sorry. No. I actually thought it was very interesting and rarely.
I didn't want to be that provocative.
No, it's both had very interesting comments, and being on a desk where it's Romania, the way it comes within the department all the time, I admit I don't often hear different ideas, but clearly. Come from a consultant perspective, and honestly, some of the suggestions Dan raised, I hope Alina and Shamir, you're writing these down, because he's probably, or he has, made some very good suggestions on how Romania might be effective, especially looking at the focus on the definitions and impact and where a new democracy does have impact, compared, yes, Pakistan or problem than others, but I think Romania has had an impact in some of the ways he's described, especially on the geographical point you raised in its own area. Romania has actually caused the U.S. government to focus on a Black Sea strategy and create one in the past few years that really happened after Romania entered NATO. The United States had not developed a Black Sea strategy until Romanian leadership and constantly raising the issue arose on our agenda. Now that NATO and the EU are there, it's an area we have to look at, and Romania has been good that way. And some of the other areas you mentioned where Romania could have impact, not an expert on arms control or things of that nature, but certainly on the CFE, Romania has had an impact, and the Romanian government is very focused on that, to the point of occasional tension and heartbreak of what Romania needs and where Romania's position is. So there are some impacts. Also, I find the congressional points raised very interesting, lobbying versus targeting, and add that to where Christian says they're going. Being targeted in some areas might be very effective. It's very interesting that you want to go out to our 50 states, but remember, if you're in Springfield, Salem, Sacramento, Bismarck, or Montpelier, it's very hard for folks in those areas to see what's going on from the national level. And having worked in the Oregon State Senate, if you all came to Salem, it'd be very hard to figure out, well, it's nice to meet you, but we're working on migrant labor issues, pesticides, and others. So if you have issues there where there's Romanian diaspora, I know that many Romanian Oregonians, I guess we can say, run foster care homes, maybe letting people and local legislators know that there's a Romanian impact in their state. Otherwise, you'll get lost. And I guess that's something to think about, where Dan made a suggestion on lobbying and focus and having an impact is make sure that it fits in. And that's all I wanted to say.
That's why I'm saying that the resources that, for example, the Chamber of Commerce has in knowing the capabilities, the strong points of the Romanian market and of the Romanian business community, is of great help in helping us match what we have to offer with what is here to compensate, and we certainly won't get in all the 50 states at once. Okay.
Hey, let's open up to the floor. Any comments, questions? Obviously, Dan wasn't controversial enough. We've got no takers. Please, Bill.
I'm always glad to have Dan there. He's, you know, he stimulates thinking.
We always have him after lunch, if you've noticed, because it's when people tend to drift.
He's better than a straight cup of coffee. Two things, just a couple of comments. One, partially Aaron's responded to the fact that I believe that you can make the case that Romania has had some impact on American policies, particularly in the Black Sea area. But secondly, I wanted to pick up on the Roma idea, because I think that is an area where I think where Romania could do something much more, take a leadership role. Roma is not a problem, it's a whole series of problems that you know. There are Roma not just in Romania, but there are Roma throughout the Central European region, and then you've got the problem now in Italy. But I do think that there's a good possibility that Romania could take a leadership role in pushing the EU to do more to deal with the Roma issue, because it is a widespread issue. It's a cultural issue, it's education, it's economic, as well as migration. So since there is a sort of association not always justified of Roma and Romania, but at least this is something where I think Romania could play a role with some great benefit throughout the region.
Yeah, it must have confused a lot of people. Headlines, Romanian Roma in Rome. You know, I mean, I can imagine the confusion. Please, Dan.
Just I want to add something here. Please, Dan. Don't have. And then I should.
One of you go first. You're sponsoring this event.
Okay. to listen you.
You should always defer to the sponsor, you know? I think Bill Sivkin has raised the point, and again, as I had mentioned, I think that President Băsescu, in his literally 24 or 48 hours ago comment, which was precipitated by a tragic event in Romania, you know, but nevertheless, the issue here is much broader. And I think, Bill, you hit on that point. It's migration, it's immigration, which is affecting all of Central and Southeastern Europe. And it is not just people leaving Southeastern Europe and going to Rome and cities in Spain and Paris, but it's also people coming from other places and coming into Romania and Bulgaria as well. And all of the EU has to address this. And if Romania and the president of Romania and maybe even, dare I say, the prime minister cooperating with the president of Romania could, fancy that, could actually heighten this issue to the level of EU discussion and take a very important lead about a tangible and hemorrhaging problem within all of Europe. I think that would be very important. But my larger point in my little chat was that Romania can take a lead on a number of issues. I also mentioned arms control. I acknowledge that with respect to attention to Black Sea issues, very important, and I've attended, as maybe several people in the room have done, conferences sponsored by various organizations in Romania focused on Black Sea security, etc. And this is evidence of a new democracy, Romania, taking leads, and I think we ought to congratulate the country for doing that, but also encourage, people in the Romanian embassy here as well as the foreign ministry in Bucharest to continue that and to accelerate that.
I want to say a few words about the Roma population and about this incident, which of course we regret very much, and nobody wants to happen something like this. I was a strong supporter of minorities in my country. And as a journalist, I did a lot of programs, the first radio programs about minorities we did on Radio Romania. And you know what was happening once? I convinced the president of Romanian Academy at that time to organize a conference about ethnic minorities and especially about Roma population inside Romanian Academy, which was a blasphemy for the old academicians. And we did it. And you know what happened with me when I left the academy? I was attacked by a Roma group outside the academy after I supported them a few hours inside. The problem is that it's not a Romanian issue. It's more than this. And Commissioner Amato, when he was commissioner, he didn't want to listen to this topic. He said, this is a problem of Romania. You have to respect all the rights of Roma population. I said, let's discuss about culture and about living together. Now, the President Băsescu maybe made one of his best statements in the last 2 years. And he raised exactly the right problem. It's an European issue. And we have to learn from this. Otherwise, we shall come back to each country. It's a country. It doesn't matter what is happening inside your borders. Now it's a cross-border issue. And we have to invest money in this and to invest intelligence in this. And taking a lead in this moment, it's a right moment for the new Europeans to take lead in Brussels, and it's possible. I experienced 2 weeks ago in Paris with Eurochamber situation when we came with a position paper on two issues, innovation and another European structural funds, and it's possible to have initiative, it's possible to push decision in Brussels, and here it's a lot of room to cooperate with American companies because the decision are taken if you are moving something, and we can move, and we are learning now, we are working with our companies to train them how to push things ahead. And organizations like Romanian Chamber of Commerce, ownership associations, are very important to convince Brussels to change something in different issues. Sorry for this.
Okay, thanks, Dragos. Please.
Thank you. Dan McGroarty with Carmet Strategic Consultancy. I had a question for Aaron. You talked a bit about the progress made on the corruption issue, but then the fact that there's been some backsliding, concern about backsliding, let's say. And at several points today, panelists have talked about the amount of funds coming forward from the EU. 31 billion, it's got to be matched in a certain sort of way. Dragos pointed that out. Can you speculate, Aaron, what would you consider to be, I want to say it's a capacity issue, but also it's an issue of whether or not safeguard measures are put into place because of some of the backsliding that happens. If you were to look out 3 years, 5 years, what would you guesstimate would be a successful rate for accessing those EU funds? Would Romania be accessing 70%, 80%, 20%, 10%, 50%? Is there a sense in which you'd measure tangible progress in terms of absorbing that big pot of money out there that could be used in so many positive ways?
Oh, that's a tough question, attaching numbers somewhere in percentage points.
Lay odds.
Okay, give me a second to collect my thoughts here to make sure it sounds all right. I think watching the political turmoil that Dan referred to, there is an occasional tendency to focus on your own political position rather than the work at hand. And there is a capacity issue. And I believe in some cases it requires focus from the top for actual work to get done at the governing working level. And then again, we talk about capacity. The United States has given funding for training. So the Ag Funds issue only came to a head recently when the European Union considered actually making sanctions, or it became into the press and sort of a pride issue. I've got to be optimistic and hope at some point there's enough training and enough focus that people will begin to do this sort of work at the working level without having it become a pride issue at the national level, and the prime minister say, doing this, oh, how dare you, EU, you're not going to embarrass Romania, et cetera, et cetera. From my perspective, it seems like an odd way of doing business, but as he pointed out, we've got Jensens and Nelsons up here, and I have kind of only know the American and Oregonian way of doing business. On ag funds, because it has... On the ag fund side, I think because it's a focus within 3 years, let's say I hope they get payment plans working out that has 100% within 3 years. The actual structural transportation funds, I think I'm less optimistic because the last statistic I saw, granted the last time I looked at this was in July, was I believe not €1 of EU funds was going to be spent in Romania in its first year. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're right.
Okay, I'm right. So that's zero in 1 year. So we're going to get something.
It's going to get better.
It's going to get better in two or three. But because that seems to be the rate on that side, and it hasn't become a shaming issue, I think maybe I'm going to go half in 3 years.
Dragos has had some direct experience dealing with EU funds, so maybe...
It's important to discuss about different programs. For example, the program for regional operations, I think, will be 150% used. in this moment, the local administration, local governments, I'm speaking about regions and counties, you know, because you used to work in Romania. Oh, sorry. So I'm speaking about regional administration and local administration. They have projects for 2-3 times more money than they have in this moment. I remember in the monitoring committee body of the Ministry of Regional Development, and they are pushing all the time European administration to promise that will give more money. So in this moment, they are working to spend this money. Everything is set up, everything is assessed, so here it's okay. Will be more difficult for increasing the competitiveness and for human resources. Why? Because we need projects. And you cannot train people and to spend 4 billion euros in 7 years if you don't know for what. So here, the companies will move less fast than the local administration. But you have to take into account the mentality of the people. They don't trust if they don't see, because all administration before 89 were lying on us. So nobody believes it when administration says something, say, let's see, and then we'll react. So if the money will come and the first companies will have results and they will have access, the reaction will be. Will take another year. I'm all the time nervous on this government because my perception is that it is not moving enough fast for attracting funds. But to be honest, it is normal what is happening now. So we are in a normal track. The politicians are fighting for this, but we are on a normal track. Next year, I shall explain you why. Next year, the amount of money will increase very much because I apply with a local chamber of commerce and with a Bulgarian chamber for 1 million euro in 1st of October. And will take 2 months to receive the decision, another 1 month and a half to sign the contract. When will come the money? In January or February. So it's taken for local administration, it's taken between 6 and 12, 18 months for assessment of the project. So we shall see the results in future. But the problem is with private companies to learn how to apply and to have resources for co-financing. This is the huge problem, how to co-finance. You have to come with 40%. 40% from 10 million, it's a lot of money. For 1 million, it's a lot of money. So the Romanian Chamber of Commerce, to give you a concrete example, we created a fund with 2 million euros for all our local chambers, but with one condition: they can appeal this fund to have projects at regional level, to put them together, to work together, and to have results at regional level, so to develop the business community at regional level. The co-financing is the core problem in attracting European funds.
Okay, thanks very much, Dragoș. Leonard, please.
Leonard Oberlander, independent consultant. I want to just add a point that I thought of when the issue concerning the Roma was said to be an issue to be dealt with by the European Union. And while that is true, in my view, while I'm not in a position to advise on it, it seems that while the European Union may develop some structures and budgets, some legal structures, that the real problem is at the local and regional level. It's where people are crossing the borders, living near borders, and where there are people who are called sometimes ultranationalists and people who are more enlightened tend to clash. And these issues are dealt with more effectively at the local level and regionally between neighbors, Romania and Hungary, Romania and its other neighbors, because the immigration is specific and local. And I just wanted to have a reaction to that point.
You're American and I'm American, and so let's talk Americana here. Once upon a time in the United States, we had a heinous problem with inequality across our society. We still do, but at least legally, it's not the way it used to be. 1957, Little Rock, Arkansas. Eventually, there had to be an intervention by the President of the United States to send troops to integrate a school. I'm not suggesting, bear in mind, that the Roma issue is exactly parallel. It's not even remotely parallel. However, it does have one significant parallelism, which is, and here I am disagreeing, but gently with you, and we can debate this later, but I really don't believe it's a local issue.
Not only. I said it's an issue for the European Union to deal with legal structures.
Yep.
And budgets.
No, I heard you. I heard you. Yeah. I heard you. But even with respect to culture, you know, we did not in the United States, and neither did most countries, begin to change the culture until we change broader national, and in the case of the European Union, I mean transnational, EU, a key type of law. I believe that Băsescu, even though he may not have perceived it in this way, but nevertheless is hitting the nail on the head, which is, it is not Bulgaria's problem, Romania's problem, Ukraine, which is outside the EU, but nevertheless, it's not these individual societies' cultural problems. First and foremost, there's going to have to be an externalization of the problem, an internationalization of the problem to create the momentum within the countries and societies to undergo that change. Now, may I say that, you know, within many societies within Europe, and then, by the way, that includes the issue of Northern Ireland within the UK. That includes the issue of the Basques within Spain, who are still not reconciled, but nevertheless, there is an EU process underway. And I think that that internationalization is going to be very important to eventually addressing the issue of mass migration, some of it labor, some of it cultural, but all of it, almost all of it, well, I don't want to say all of it, but a significant proportion minorities, Roma being a significant part of that migration from Romania, from Bulgaria, from, by the way, Croatia and Serbia and Hungary and elsewhere. They're looking for jobs, but if they're not looking for jobs, they're looking for otherwise opportunities that are not available in Southeastern Europe. And only the EU can address this. Now, what Băsescu is talking about is funding for integration. He used the word integration. And I think that's key here, because if these populations remain separate, distinct, outside of cities in favelas, you know, the kind of Latin American equivalent, then this population will be a harbinger for crime and other social ills, and we cannot allow that to continue throughout Europe. So I hope that what Băsescu has suggested really, and again, this panel was about impact, I think, yes. And how can Romania and other new democracies have an impact on U.S. policy and parenthetically Western policy? Well, pick some issues. I suggested arms control. I mentioned also Roma and minorities. Pick those issues and hammer them. And with the help of you know, wealthy people like the Chamber of Commerce, I mean, really try to make a difference here. And I think that the difference will be at the transnational level, not just within particular communities.
To counter much of what you said, where I disagree, the European Union does not have the Constitution that the United States does. It's not the republic the United States is. When the president acted militarily to integrate schools in Little Rock, for instance, he federalized the National Guard, which is under the governor, and this is a constitutional issue. That doesn't exist in the European Union. However, in the European Union, by example, when Slovakia had a prime minister considered to be an ultranationalist, and he suggested to Hungary that you give us yours, we'll give you mine, we'll trade back and forth, it was within the two countries, and particularly in the Slovak Republic, that prime minister was not reelected, and at the local level, they have resolved much of that problem in a preferred direction. Without European Union intervention, So while I agree the European Union does have a role in this, they do not have the political and legal machinery that the United States Constitution provides for the United States to act in with regard to our historical minuses.
I take your point. The Europeans will perhaps work on that constitutional issue, but it is not a parallel. I understand that, but nevertheless, I think that in terms of the context of this panel, where can Romania and other new democracies make an impact? I don't think it's going to be by just generically trying to have an effect or efficacy across all issues. I'm saying target. And I believe, because Romania can speak with authority on the issue of minorities, it should, within the context of Europe, lead on that, have an impact on that. Not to call it the National Guard, but and likewise on arms control and so on.
Okay, thanks, Dan. At the back there.
My name is Henry Levine. I'm at Squire Sanders and Dempsey, a law firm. I've been working in the area of offsets, and my comments are directed to the gentleman who talked about co-financing being a challenge. I'm working with a group of entrepreneurs that have set up a fund in a country where they put in their own money, maybe $50 million, and then they encourage, by interaction with the government, that the government will give offset credits to defense companies that put money into the fund. So you have a fund with the entrepreneurial guy putting in $50 million, and you have U.S. defense companies putting in, let's say, 5% of their $100 million contract, let's say $5 million. And then the fund invests, and that leverages EBRD funds and other funds. So you have a privately managed fund that goes into projects that are prioritized by the government for good causes, and credits are awarded. Now, I'm no expert on Romania, but my impression is that in the past, I mean, sometimes they will permit indirect offsets, and now it's direct offsets, and it's been not clear how entrepreneurial the government is in giving offset credits. So my question is to the gentleman who talked about co-financing being a challenge. There's a lot of money out there that could be coming into Romania if Romania were entrepreneurial in applying their offset policies and encouraging entrepreneurs to come in and using that money to leverage EBRD money and other money for projects with multipliers and so forth in Romania. Would that, is there any possibility that that would fly in Romania?
Dragos?
Sir, thank you for what you said. I am not an expert in investment and in the investment funds, especially. I think it's possible, yes, and I think this is necessary. But there are, let's say, two categories of possible entrepreneurs interested to attract funds for co-financing. There are large groups, and here it's easier because they know how to manage. And there are local entrepreneurs who are not so well prepared. From our point of view, from the Romanian point of view, we are very much interested to develop small and medium enterprises because this will develop normally Romanian society and will give us the chance to have a very balanced structure of the society. And here we have to come with different instruments and maybe the role of the government to do such kind of things. And the private the activity to prioritize the investment, maybe it's a very good idea. So if you are interested to come, we can discuss about this. But for the small and medium enterprises, we have to handle in a different way because it's more delicate. And if you invest fund, you want in 3 years' time to have the results there. And for a small enterprise in a rural area, it's very difficult to see the results. For example, there are a lot of money in the rural program, the development of the rural area, to invest in industry, but in rural area to give alternative to agriculture.
they will not have results so fast to give you a profit at the level that an invest fund is interested in. So there are ways and ways, but this is a way, and we are very much interested to attract such kind of things. And okay. If you agree, I want to add another thing. There are three levels. It's a governmental level, and the government is taking the money from the European Union and have its own contribution. It's medium area where these organizations are disseminating the funds, and there are the last, the end users. What we hope to do in Romania in the next years is, in the next 2 or 3 years, is to change this level, medium level, to replace the governmental structures with NGOs like the Chamber of Commerce. France has this experience, and the United Kingdom is facing this experience for the period 2007-2013. Why? It's less bureaucratic. It's more close to the final user, and the procedures are easier. So we are working to find different opportunities to attract invest funds in Romania. Thank you for the occasion.
Okay, thanks, Dragos. Any other comments, questions? This is your last chance. Last orders. And then we shall speak. Actually, come up, Dragos, because we might as well conclude now, because otherwise we're not going to have a break. We'll lose. Thank you very much to our three panelists. Don't move. Stay. Let me just begin with the last comments, and you have the ultimate. So these are the penultimate comments. Just very, very quickly, and I only have really 2 points to make. On the basis of our talks today, and secondly, what we're planning for the future. Ilona Teleki, my deputy director, published a book last year on America's New Allies, and I think today has sort of reinforced what we wrote over a year ago, that the United States cannot take the Central European countries for granted, which I think is a policy that I've certainly noticed, or let's say that's the way it resonates in much of the region. Can't take them for granted, in other words, as close allies, strategic partners, as one bloc, New Europe or whatever you call it. It's a very diversified region. It's a region in which public opinion, politics, Europeanization, EUization, if you like, is playing a much bigger role. So we need to invest in these relationships much more deeply and much more broadly. And one very important area, one vital area, of course, is commerce, which has been our subject, most of our subject today. And as we've heard today, it's incumbent on both sides. It's not just up to the US to encourage investment. It's also up to Romania and other countries in the region to attract investment. And that's a long-term proposition, but a lot can be done. And Dragos is here, and he's very active in this regard, both in Romania and whenever he visits and tours in the United States. So that's the first point. The second point is what we're planning to do. We're planning to continue our collaboration with the Chamber of Commerce and Dragos' Foundation for Democracy, Culture, and Liberty. And we are preparing two slightly different events. One, round about the time of the summit in Bucharest in April, the NATO summit, we're planning an event. We're not exactly sure which day, but it's going to be business-focused, the business side of security. And secondly, a conference here in D.C. sometime in the spring, in which the issues I raised in the first point on that Central European U.S. relationship, largely writ, we're going to explore to try and come up with some recommendations for the next U.S. administration. And this wouldn't just be Romania. We'd want to involve many of the countries, particularly the recent EU and NATO members, to look at their wants, their desires, as well as their frustrations. But then also to look at the U.S. side, where is it that we've fallen short in delivering, in building up a relationship, in investing in the relationship. And we're hoping, again, it's too early to tell, we're hoping to get maybe one or maybe more of the what will then be the presidential candidates here in the U.S. to try and address what is, after all, a huge population in this country. If you look at all the diasporas from almost 20 countries in Central Eastern Europe, you're talking about a sizable voting bloc in this country. So that's what we're planning to do sometime in the spring or early summer next year. So watch this space, and finally, Dragos.
When I was a journalist and I cover convention in 2004, I was thinking that it's too important elections of the American president and not to have a word to influence us, the chance to influence elections, because what is happening here is influencing very much our life. So we decided together to organize this conference with front candidates from both parties and to try to say something and to explain that we need to have a voice here and our communities are the voice here. And I'm very proud to tell you that we have a young priest here, Priest Luzai. He's representing the Romanian community here in Washington, D.C. He's a new priest, Orthodox priest here. He started his job a few months ago when he was elected by the community. And he's following a famous fighter for human rights in Romania, a priest who died, unfortunately, recently. And we want to have a voice with young people, with energetic people, with business people in the United States, because we are serious citizens and we are dedicated to the country in which we are living. I want to announce that we are trying to publish, and Janos is a supporter of this, book of Dr. Babiuk about EU-Romanian relations and about the relations in Black Sea area. And we are looking to other projects together. I want to thank very much to CSIS, to Janos, and to your team for what we are doing together, and of course to thanks to my team, which is at home. But in future, they will be here because of this video phone.
We'll use this next time.
Yes.
Last but not least, I'd like to thank the people who really made this possible. That's Milena, Ilona, Bessian, Peter, and Lauren. Thank you all very much. Great job.